In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, the goal of life in this world is to live eternally, for death is our enemy. The pagans around us seek to avoid death through efforts in nutrition, exercise, medical treatments. Not that they necessarily believe that eternal life is achievable for humanity through advancements in science and medicine, but postponing death and therefore prolonging earthly life is the next best thing. But our Lord, at the beginning of today's gospel text, offers instruction for how one may genuinely achieve eternal life in the kingdom of heaven. He says, "Unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." Or to put it in the positive, if you possess the greater righteousness, you will live eternally. As we consider this theme of the greater righteousness which grants eternal life, we will consider a series of questions. First, what is righteousness? Second, what is the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees? Third, what is the greater righteousness? And finally, how do we come to possess this greater righteousness? May the Holy Spirit grant us his guidance and aid considering these matters. So, what is righteousness? We use the word regularly in the church, but what exactly does it mean? Well, you can hear at the root of the word its main idea. Right. To be righteous is to be in right standing. If I stand before a court of law accused of committing a crime that I did not commit, the jury will find me to be righteous, that is, in right standing before the court of law. No crimes are held against me. According to the law, I am righteous. In the Christian religion, we speak not only of righteousness in the world, but we also speak of righteousness before God. One who is unrighteous before God is someone who stands guilty before him. Conversely, one who is righteous before God is one who is innocent and therefore in right standing with him. If one desires to live eternally in God's new creation, he must be in right standing with God. The trouble with this, of course, is that we are all sinners. As our first parents before us, we have fallen short of God's law and standards. We're sinners, which is to say we are unrighteous before God. And the law of God bears witness against us. Where the Ten Commandments instruct us, "You shall not murder," our Lord teaches us the full extent of what God requires in this command. "Whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment." Truly, we, like all men, are sinners, and therefore we are unrighteous before God. This is righteousness, generically speaking, but what then is the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees of which our Lord speaks? There are two aspects of the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. First, the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees is merely an external righteousness, which is to say, it is not a righteousness of the heart. Our Lord says of the scribes and Pharisees in Matthew chapter 23, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of extortion and self-indulgence." Our Lord repeatedly criticizes the scribes and Pharisees in Matthew 23 for being hypocrites. Hypocrites being those who pretend to have virtue that they do not. This parable of the cup and dish that is cleansed outwardly but not inwardly illustrates the hypocritical scribes and Pharisees. Externally, you could not find a more righteous person in the ancient world than the scribes and Pharisees. They did everything according to the letter of the law. They were upstanding citizens and role models that every parent would want his child to emulate. But inwardly, the scribes and Pharisees were filled with wickedness and sin. Like a partially washed cup, they presented themselves well, as pure and clean, but inwardly they were filled with all kinds of sin and unrighteousness. And this inward unrighteousness highlights the second aspect of the scribes and Pharisees' righteousness, namely that they were those who self-justify. To be sure, the scribes and Pharisees were fully aware of their own inward wickedness. At the same time, they had an innate need to present themselves as outwardly righteous and pious. So they would justify themselves, attempting to hide their own sinful unrighteousness by instead highlighting the good deeds that they did, as in our Lord's parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. Dear friends in Christ, how often do we behave exactly like the scribes and Pharisees, relying on our own righteousness and self-justification? We post pictures on social media highlighting our joy and happiness in life so that everyone can see the squeaky clean outside of our cups while the filthy inside of our anger, bitterness, and resentment remains hidden. We show up to church perfectly put together, and when our friends ask us how we are, we share all the great things about our life while trying to keep hidden our greatest struggles and faults. And when those struggles become known, we're quick to minimize and dismiss discussion of them, insisting that we are fine. We've moved past those struggles. Or worst of all, when we sin against someone and are confronted by it, our immediate response is to defend ourselves. We feel the need to self-justify at all costs, lest we be perceived as weak and sinful. Now, let me be clear. It's not that a Christian needs to air out his dirty laundry for everyone to see. It's that we need to stop hiding our sin, but rather confess it so that we can receive forgiveness. For external deeds can never truly cover over unrighteousness in the heart. For unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. There is no denying it. Our unrighteousness is real, for we're just like the scribes and Pharisees. Therefore, we need the greater righteousness, the righteousness that exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. We need a righteousness that is more than external, something that will transform us from the inside out. We need the righteousness that belongs only to our Lord Jesus Christ. For Christ alone lived a sinless, righteous life. His life was not like that of the scribes and Pharisees, squeaky clean on the outside, but filthy within. No, Christ was sinless in every respect. He never spoke in unjustified anger against another. He never harbored resentment against those who sinned against him. For Christ lived a perfect life under the law, both outwardly and inwardly. His is the greater righteousness that exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. And what did he do with this righteous life? He lived it for you and for me. He went to the cross as the perfect sacrifice for our sin. His blood was shed upon the altar of the cross, appeasing the Father's wrath against our sin and unrighteousness. And now that Christ is risen from the dead, this righteousness is imputed by faith to all who believe in him, so that you and I may be covered by the blood of Christ and stand in his righteousness before the Father as truly righteous before him. This is the greater righteousness that exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees. And so there is only one question that remains then. How do I come to possess this greater righteousness? See, it doesn't matter to me if Christ died and rose 2,000 years ago as a mere historical fact. I can't go back to Calvary. Likewise, it doesn't matter to me if others possess Christ's righteousness, for I cannot be saved by their faith. If I do not possess Christ's righteousness, then I will not live forever. How then do I possess and live in Christ's righteousness? The answer is simple. We must possess a righteousness which transcends, which exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. And as we have already said, this righteousness cannot be achieved through self-justification or through our own efforts. This greater righteousness is achieved only by receiving it from outside of ourselves. Therefore, all efforts of self-justification or defensiveness must be rejected as completely contrary to the Christian life. As those who desire to live eternally with Christ, we cannot rely on ourselves in any way to bring this about. And so, we must be willing to acknowledge our faults and our sins. We must set aside all pride and delusions about our own righteousness. We must be eager to confess our sins to others and to receive life-giving forgiveness. We must start and end our days, and indeed every aspect of our lives, by receiving the grace of Christ through his word. In short, the greater righteousness of Christ is granted through the means of grace to those who humbly look to Christ. And so, dear friends in Christ, we must be people of confession and people of God's word. For the only way to receive the greater righteousness which leads to eternal life is to despair of yourself, your own goodness, and your own righteousness, and to receive the righteousness of Christ. And when you possess this greater righteousness, you will live eternally. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.